Great. I was asked to speak on missions. Greetings from Kansas City, which is where I'm from, Hope Family Fellowship. You know, one of the knocks on our movement is that we're too inward focused. We're so invested in the revitalization and restoration of health of the family that we ignore everything else. And I view that statement the same way that I view the knocks on us when we started homeschooling. We started homeschooling our children in 1981, and there were knocks about us not really caring about the education of our children. And those views were based from a position of ignorance and prejudice. And I'm not saying they're ignorant, but just their opinion. Our goal was to have excellent education without all the trappings that went along with what we were facing in that time and place with that failing system. And we had hoped that by keeping our children at home and investing in them, that we would change our world. And I think the family integrated message is the same, that we want to do that. We want to reach a world for Christ, but many of us are just not comfortable going through the typical format or program that the organized church has. So let me start with typical definition of missions. And you can tell we're a high-tech church because I got it online. It says something along this line that you guys can read there, a body of persons sent to a foreign land by religious organizations and so forth. And basically what they're saying is that missions entails sending folks out to a foreign land to reach people. And I'm not debating that definition. I think that's a perfectly good definition. And most of the missionaries that I've met are brave, dedicated people who love the Lord and have left in order to try to fulfill the Great Commission. They wanted to go and fulfill this one that we all know, you know, go into all the world and make disciples. And so they have left home. They've moved to a different culture to try to do that. So I don't dispute with the definition, and I certainly don't have anything against missionaries. I love missionaries. But for the record, I don't think that that definition is the whole truth. It is truth, but it's not the entire truth. And that's what I hope to talk to you a little bit about today. I don't believe that it's necessary for you to have to leave this culture. Now, here's the question. Should our movement be involved in missions? To me, it's like asking if the homeschool movement should be involved in education. You know, should it be? Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. Maybe we ought to do some of that. And I think with missions, of course, but like so many other things that we do, we want to do it differently, or many of us are trying to do it differently. Now, my experience, unlike Jeff Aiken and in all his churches or whatever, I've basically been in two churches. Well, maybe three since I met the Lord, but two that I've been a pastor in. One, I was on staff of a very large church as the administrative executive pastor for about 11 years, and we had missionaries that we sent out all over the world, and we would invest in lots and lots of missionaries. We'd get $50 here or $100 there. We had an annual missions conference and so forth, which was great. You know, it was a wonderful attempt, more in line with what a typical large church would do. When we began Hope Family Fellowship in 1993, we still wanted to be involved in missions, but we wanted to take a little different approach to it. We wanted to, like so many things we were trying to do in those days, be a little bit different. We set a goal, and I think it's important for you guys. How many of you here are starting churches or in your like first year of churches? So a lot of you are. Good. More. Some of you are involved in more established type family integrated churches, I assume. So we set a goal very early on that we wanted to give away 20% of the money that came into our box. You know, the money came in. We wanted to give that away. By God's grace, we have been able to do that. And it's been through missions endeavors and given alms or people that are financially strapped or so forth. Within a couple of years, we had a family that had a real passion and heart for China. They were good friends of ours that we had known a long, long time. And we sent them off to China. And we let them come back every year if they want to. But they love China. They want to die over there. And they focus on college students, and they've got an orphanage they invest heavily in, and they've got a leper colony they go to, and so forth. And when we sent them out, we told them, we said, just go be a family. Just take what's here, which is the family thing we're trying to do, and go do it in China. And, you know, and they've done pretty good with that. There's been ups and downs or whatever, but, you know, the wife of this couple has all of these young men that have this relationship, whether they call her mom, because the family relationship is not very stable in China. The kids get along with each other. They have very little to do generationally, and the family is really hurting over there. So we said, just go do that. And What we ended up doing with them is we decided to support them very heavily. Instead of giving them $50 a month, you know, we give them thousands of dollars a month. So when they come back, they don't have to raise money. When they come back, they can rest. Now they go around and talk to people and share or whatever. But this was a vision God gave us. I coined a phrase, maybe it's coined, maybe I stole it from somebody, can't remember now, it's been too long ago, but I said, I want to have a rifle approach with our missions program instead of the shotgun approach. Shotgun approach was $50 here, $10 there, $100 there. So let's give our missionaries a bunch of money to where they don't have to come back and itinerate and raise money when they come back. They can actually come back and rest. And we did that and still doing that. We had another family that went to Africa for a few years and they're talking about going back in 2015. And the other thing we've been able to do as more people have come and as the money has come in and so forth is we've been able to just help a variety of different groups do all sorts of projects. And so we've been involved in missions from the beginning, and I think most family integrated churches should or would want to be. And if you're in the process of putting together your vision, if you're laying the foundation for your church, think about being a giving church. You want to build a good foundation, be a giver. Isn't that what we tell people? You know, he said, you know, you want to be a mature believer, give. Well, the same thing's true for the church, for the body that you guys are working in or putting together. Be generous. Err on the side of generosity, support, and so forth. But here's another question for you. Do you have to leave the country to participate in missions? Is that the only way you can do it? I don't believe so. And this is what's been good for our movement. I don't know what your church is like. Our church tends to be populated with a lot of large families that have a lot of kids, that it's hard for all 18 of them to go to China or Moscow or someplace. It's very difficult for them to do that. So does that mean they can't be involved? No. There's lots of things you can do. And maybe a definition change is necessary to talk about missions. There's lots of options that we can do. Here's some things we've done and are doing. And like Brad shared, you know, this is just stuff we've done in our experience. I've been primarily involved in two churches for 34 years. And this is just what we've developed. You'll develop what you want, but don't overlook these things. And it can be part of a ministry structure. It can be part of a ministry vision. Short-term mission trips are great. People can go and they can catch a heart for the lost and dying all over the globe. They can go out and see what most of the world lives like. And most of the world does not live like we do in suburbia or in America. Most of the world lives in a lot of poverty. And it's good for them to go. Maybe the whole family can't go, but a father-son can go. Father-daughter can go, you know, somebody maybe can take 10 singles with them and go. You know, we're going to have teaching on singles later on. Man, what a great thing. Get the young people when they're single, wholly devoted to the Lord, and go out and serve. Go somewhere. Go do something. We had a couple firemen in our church that wanted to go build houses in Mexico. Nobody in leadership went with them. We blessed them, sent them out. They took 50 people, went down to Mexico, worked all week building houses. It was great. I think the church might have rented some vans for them or something. But there's all kinds of opportunities that are out there on a short-term basis. A girl just got back from being over in the Philippines learning midwifery. We've had families or parts of families go to Central America and so forth. But, you know, there's a whole lot of groups that are around that have an international flavor that you don't even have to probably leave your town. Again, I don't know what your town's like, but in Kansas City, there's an awful lot of international people that are right there in our own town. There's a lot of organizations that aren't far from where we are. So we have families that drive down and work at Voice of the Martyrs, or we have a local homeless shelter place where people go down to and work. There's lots of pro-life ministries. There's internet ministries. Got a guy who does, Venezuela or something? Some kind of translation that he does and is reaching thousands of people all over the world without having to leave town. It's wonderful. We've got old folks home. You've got jail ministry, hospital ministry. Really, the list is only limited by a creative God, which isn't very limited if you think about it. And what we need to do is try to reorient the way we think about things. That missions, you don't have to leave. You can do missions right where you are. Parachurch ministries. What about entertaining strangers? Here's something that's relatively new in our world. We have a young lady, a single lady, that took over our clothes closet. Somebody had an idea that said, hey, we got all these large families that, you know, have tons of clothes that they're always handing down or whatever. And what if we kind of created our own little garage sale place where people could bring clothes that they're no longer using and then open it up to share with the people in the church? And it started, I mean, this thing just went nuts. There's rooms full of clothes everywhere. And so this young lady got involved with it, and they were talking. I said, well, what about if we opened that up to the Hispanic community? We go down to the public school when they're having a back-to-school thing, and we hand out flyers to them and say, you want free clothes? You want a free meal? You know, you can't afford to buy clothes? Come to our church. We'll clothe your kids for free. You know, and they've been doing that now for several years, and you know, I don't know how many. It's been 150 families probably have come and got all their clothes free from people that were just going to throw them away before. You know, and everybody, they're all getting involved. I've never been to this thing, by the way, as the pastor. I've never gone to it. I've seen pictures. But they'll take our fellowship hall, and they'll decorate it, and they'll put tables up, and they'll put the clothes up, and then they feed them, and they share the Lord, and it's just a really neat opportunity. It's being run by a single girl in our church who recruits the volunteers. You know, singles can have a tremendous place in the ministry. What about this verse? To love strangers. We just encountered a group locally in our town that reaches out to Hispanics, Cubans, and Bhutanese refugees. I didn't even know what a Bhutanese refugee was. He was just at our church, and we asked him a little bit about his ministry. And it was a group of people that had been refugees and homeless for decades, and America finally let in about, I don't know, 50 or 60,000 of them, and 10,000 of them or something like that showed up in Kansas City. And so they've started this ministry reaching to them, and we just found these folks. And what they need isn't money. What they need are people to sit down and talk to them in English. Now, how many families do you think in your church could sit down and talk to somebody in English? I'm just asking. I mean, some of you do. Some of you maybe don't. But for some of us, English is a second language. But that's a joke. I know it's late. Last session. Deal with it. What about starting an ESL program in your church or something? You know, English is a second language. It doesn't have to be rocket science. We don't have to go out and reinvent the wheel to reach people where they are. There's lots of opportunities that are out there if we'll just look for it. We invited, when this family first went to China, we went over there back and forth to China, I don't know, multiple times. And we've met this lady local in our town. It was a travel agent. We invited her to our house. Yi Ping, I think was her name. Unless my wife's back there, by the way. And Yi Ping was her name. And she said a phenomenal sentence. I couldn't believe it. She said, I've been in the United States 10 years. I've never been in a, she didn't call us white people. What did she call us? American, I guess. I've never been in an American home. A believer, 10 years, never been in an American home. And I thought, wow. You know, here's somebody that's in my city that loves Jesus, that has never been in an American home. Man, we need to challenge people to step up a little bit and share the gospel through relationships and through reaching out. And it doesn't have to be where you got to go around the globe. You can probably go around the block. We can encourage our families to think globally, act locally. I don't believe it's an either-or situation. And again, if you're in the foundational structure of your church, why not build in a missions program when you're putting your documents together, putting in your vision and your philosophy, and make it part of the lifeblood of your church? The people will do, you know, as we share, as we preach, as we model, what's in our heart will come out in the actions of the people that are drawn to our ministry. Why not put missions as part of that? I hope and pray God continues to send people out to parts unknown. You know, Asia, Africa, that some of the young people in your church and in my church grow up and they go out and they have a heart to reach the lost somewhere else. I hope more of them will reach out right where they are and they'll do what God has called them to do. Think locally, think globally, act locally. Give, go, stay, pray. Both of those work. I think we can encourage our families or parts of them to reach out. Some of them are, you know, overwhelmed, and some of them are busy, and some of them have major plate full. And so I'm concerned whenever I stand up and try to motivate people to do something, I always put up a lot of fences and a lot of caveats to that. Because if your church is anything like my church, it's full of homeschool moms that are about 1 inch from pulling her hair out and committing crimes, you know, a lot of times. And you got to be careful when you're saying, why aren't you involved in missions? You know, there needs to be grace given. And there needs to be an explanation about seasons in our life. You know, my kids are all grown. My youngest is 33 or 4 or something, or however old he is, you know, and they go up from there. And it's like, I've got time now to do stuff. And for me to stand up and tell everybody, you need to be doing what I'm doing is ridiculous. Some of them are just trying to figure out if I can make it through the next day. And we need to give them grace and encouragement and understanding and love and support and say, that's perfectly okay. there will maybe come a time when you will have free time and you will make it through. And you're doing a good work right now. You're focusing on your kids. You're focusing where it needs to be. And you're making disciples right now. Wonderful, good job. Part of our vision is to turn dysfunction into function, I would think. That's why we're involved in the family integrated ministry and movement that we are involved in. We believe that the family is dysfunctional, that it has fallen apart, that the organized, systematized, categorized, segregated church is not helping, or we would be following that model. So we're trying to follow a different model. And that model is to try to return function to the home, where it is able to function. And one part of functioning in the home is outreach, or should be. We get to a place of health. The natural product or byproduct of that should be to reach out to others. And I understand there's periods of sickness. And I understand that there's ebb and flow in our lives. But when we are healthy, we should be reaching out. And that's what we need to be encouraging our people to do. And I don't think everybody has to move to China or Uganda or Iraq. You know, we hear the missionary stories or we get the VOM newsletters, Voice of the Martyrs, and we think, oh, if I was really going to do something for Jesus, I'd go over there. Maybe God has you right where he has you right now. What can you do here? Can you invest and work in the lives of your kids now? One of my life passages is this, Ephesians 2:10. We're his workmanship and created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he, God, has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What has God prepared you to do? What has God asked you to do? I think about the young people. We have lots and lots of young people in our church, and I'm assuming most of you do too. We need to challenge them to have a vision of what they can do for Christ. Don't waste your life worrying about what you will be doing, what you may be doing, what you're not doing. What does God want you to do right now? Maybe marriage is in the future. Maybe it isn't. But the scripture says when you're single, you can be wholly devoted to the Lord. Let's challenge our young people to have a vision to reach out, to do more than just entertain themselves or whatever it is that young people are all caught up nowadays. Let's challenge them to have a vision to seek the Lord and make a difference. And they will. I was always upset when I was in the traditional church because we always talked about the kids being the church of the future. And I'd say, no, the kids are not the church of the future. They're the church today. They're the church today. And it's up to the young people to respond to that challenge. Step up and do something with what God's given you, which is your youth. Because when you get to be my age, you don't have the strength or energy to do it anymore. Some of the stuff we've done in our church and the challenge to build that into the philosophy of your church in missions. But I'm assuming nobody in here is against missions. Is that a good assumption? It was a rhetorical question, you know, that should we be involved in missions? But have you built something into your program? Eric, you guys have been around forever. You've been around a long time. You're older than dirt. You know, you guys have a mission vision, I'm assuming, of some sort, don't you? Rifle approach. There you go. Rifle approach. Focus on supporting somebody. I was always so frustrated when the missionaries would come back and they'd have to schedule every spare minute of their time to go raise money. And you're going, what kind of rest is that? And when our family comes back, they have a fellowship problem, Brad. They come back and they're scheduled every single moment hanging out with people. You know, they just go out and eat constantly. They got to go back and diet when they get back there because they just spent, you know, a month eating out constantly. But they shouldn't have to go and raise money. My opinion. You can do however you want to do it. You know, God will show you you're wrong. You guys want an illustration? I'll give you an illustration that always gets me. Is, you know, we had three children. Two of them got married young, 20 and around 20. One of them was 28. She was the middle child. Her older sister was married. Her younger brother was married. She's going, what's wrong with me? Am I chopped liver? You know, what is this all about? And we challenged her. We said, why don't you invest in the next generation? You know, God has provided, you know, hundreds of young kids around here that would love to have an older girl talk to her or whatever. So she kind of became an Auntie Sarah to these girls in our church. And she would purposely reach out to them and encourage them and include them and talk with them and share with them or whatever. And when God finally did bring in a guy to marry her, she had 40 of these little girls in a choir in a little balcony, all dressed in purple, which was her color, and they were singing. And so I'm having a conversation with another young lady in our church that I'm watching doing the same thing, and I'm saying, "That's really good, Callie, for doing that. Thanks so much for doing it." She goes, "You know where I learned this from? Sarah." And so I'm seeing this generational thing of reaching out. And you're going, she didn't have to go anywhere. She did. She went to China and other places. But she made an impact in a bunch of people's lives right in the church. And it came from someone challenging her to don't waste your single years on worrying over what you don't have. Invest and do what God has called you to do right now. Don't waste it. Use them now. So, yes, sir. Yeah, great question on how do you do that financially, how do you make that decision, you know, switching over from the small gifts to the big gifts and so forth. You know, what we just adopted here recently, we have always had an unstated policy that we wanted to give 20% of our money away. It's been closer to 30% actually. But this last year we decided as a group to actually segregate that money. And so we actually set up a fund. And when the end of the month, whatever we haven't spent that's up to the 20%, because we have commitments that we're already giving, that money is swept into a fund, basically. And we're accumulating money over there to where we set it aside, and that money is earmarked to be used for missions and outreach and alms. And so we are building up some money, so when the next opportunity comes, we've got funds that are there. We've set it aside. We were serious about doing this and not just absorbing it into our budget. And so we've actually committed to put that money aside. Now, it's board directed. It's not a legal thing. So if everything fell apart tomorrow and we needed to use that money, we could. But that's not the point of it. The point of it is to set it aside so when those opportunities come, we can participate in it. And I don't want to say we've done our shotgun things before. We've done our opportunity giving. We've helped some inner city churches. Just a need will come to us and we'll pray about it and decide to throw some money at it or help it in some way. We've done that because we have a heart to want to be generous. So you can set it up any way you want to set it up. It's just if you're going to send guys to the field, my encouragement would be send them to the field where they don't have to worry about money, you know, where they don't have to just spend their whole ministry life worrying about where the next nickel is going to come from. Take care of them, but it doesn't have to be that way. Yeah, and I would add to that, Eric's excellent explanation there, is that we're a vision-driven church. And if we're going to support somebody heavily, it's got to be lined up with what we're doing and our vision. And we may give money here or there, or we may participate or help send somebody to some missionary endeavor or whatever, a short-term thing. But if we're going to take somebody under our wing and support them, then they're going to line up with what we're doing or be lined up with what we're doing, and they're going to have a similar vision because that's what God's called us to do. There's 1,000 different visions that are out there, but this is the vision God gave us. And you know, we're more than willing to invest in people that line up with that vision. And so we pray and find those people or find those opportunities, and if something comes up that's outside of our vision, we'll pray about it, you know, and if it's something we could help, or maybe we will, but we're more than likely not going to get into a relationship with those people because we're not walking the same direction. Doesn't mean we won't necessarily help them. We helped an inner city church help build a building. We don't have the same vision, but we wanted to bless them and help them. But those that are walking in the direction we're walking, we're more apt to invest in heavily. So that's how we determine it. Yeah, it's really good. Long-term commitments and then going as a family if you can, or at least parts of a family. Like out of the 50 people that went down, at these two firemen went, their kids, fathers, sons. I mean, it was a family-centric thing. It wasn't like the youth group thing, because I took some of those trips. They were, God bless them. But I think the family thing is much better. And being able to go, we've been allowed over the years to go to a bunch of different places as a family, and it's a really wonderful experience for your kids. I think if it can be done, every father should make sure his kids get out of the country and go see how most of the people in the world live. It will open their eyes. And complaining will be severely limited after that when you come back. You know, you see people that have absolutely nothing. We went took our family to Mexico down after a hurricane hit, and these people are living, you know, getting their water out of a truck that comes, and there's nothing there. And it's like, wow, I've got a room. You know, this is great. You know, just the whole attitude changes. So absolutely. So thank you all. God bless you. Have a good night.